Social entrepreneurship allows you to make a positive difference in the world whilst also earning a neat profit. Stay tuned on the Zista podcast as we go deeper into this subject matter. Welcome to the Zista podcast, where we invite industry speakers and academicians to answer questions that students have within a particular subject area. In today's episode, we're going to be focusing on social entrepreneurship. Joining us today is Eddie Balina, the CEO of the Nonviolence Project in Uganda. Eddie manages the Nonviolence Project in his country and also runs the Ripples of Hope Foundation, where they establish low-cost schools, community-based schools, and make a positive impact in the local communities that they serve. Let's go straight into this session. Hi, Eddie. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Amit. Good to be here.
Thank you for joining us, Eddie. Really appreciate it. And I'm so looking forward to this session. You know, social entrepreneurship is something that is really important. And I think most students are interested in this area. So, you know, getting some time with you and talking about it was going to be super interesting.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here and be part of this conversation. It's a great privilege. Yeah.
Thank you, Eddie. That's so sweet of you. I wanted to ask you, how did you get involved in nonviolence education? And what are some of the projects and initiatives that you've been working on?
Yeah, so, well, my involvement within the Nonviolence Project, that's way back when I just finished my high school. And my greatest motivation was my experience growing up. I was born in one of the largest slums in Uganda and experienced a lot of violence while I was growing up at home and at school. So violence was sort of a culture and it was normalized. So going through high school, it was even becoming very more intense with the bullying, and I had a challenging high school. Normally, we could miss classes. There is a year we missed the entire year because there were riots and a lot of violence. So when I finished my high school, I had so many questions about this situation. What can we do to change this situation that has become very normal and accepted? And with these many questions, I started to look for solutions. And that is where the idea of peace building came in. And I got in touch with one of the people from the Nonviolence Foundation. They had already developed something with nonviolence education. And I decided to bring it to Uganda and tailor it to my former school. So we piloted it with my former school. And there was great impact in 1 year. And that was the birth of Nonviolence Project Uganda. Is working with different schools. Now we are working with over 297 schools which are using our Schools for Peace program. So currently, I think 13 years down the road, we have several programs, but the main are three programs. The Schools for Peace, where we are working with schools to build their capacity to establish systems on how to manage violence. How do you record violence? How do you track violence? And how do you train teachers in nonviolence practice and even students? So our Schools for Peace is about that, violence education and violence prevention. And then we have awareness and advocacy, where we're using media. Radio is still a big thing in Uganda. So we have a weekly radio talk show where we are opening up a conversation on issues of violence. As you know, violence is not that, it's not comfortable to talk about. So we are opening up the conversation, raising awareness, offering referral information, where do you get help in case you are in a situation of violence. And then the other program, which is very interesting and linked to what we are talking about today, is Entrepreneurship for Peace. Because in Uganda, we have very high youth unemployment. And our country, 80% below 30 years, we are really young country, Uganda, one of the youngest countries. So this unemployment is really linked to violence. So under our Entrepreneurship for Peace, we integrate peace education with entrepreneurship, where we mentor young people, we provide skills, we partner with skills training centers, which offer vocational skills training, and they receive this vocational skills training, entrepreneurship training integrated with nonviolence education. And we've had tremendous impact with these young people, lots of stories of transformation within this category. So those are the three programs that we run: Schools for Peace, Awareness Campaigns, and Entrepreneurship for Peace under the Nonviolence Project Uganda.
That's amazing. And just to hear about your journey, the positive impact that you've made, you know, Eddie, it's really amazing. I'm sure everything has taken some time to put all of these pieces, these elements in place. And it's really encouraging and heartening to know that there's such a positive impact that you're making in the society in Uganda, using nonviolence not only as a concept, but as a way of life. So that's really amazing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Eddie, let me ask you one more question. How do you define social entrepreneurship? How would you define that in your own words?
Yeah, I think in my own understanding, I think social entrepreneurship is where the primary goal is to address social challenges. So you use the entrepreneurship principles to create business, to create a venture, but the primary goal is solving the social challenges. And social challenges in the context of poverty, healthcare, environmental challenges, for example, in this particular time where environment is one of those top challenges that we are faced with. In Uganda, we've had challenges with climate change. And in South Sudan, I was reading this morning, the schools are closed now, and they have sent the children home because it's very hot. In Uganda, a few days back, it was around 43 degrees Celsius. So the climate change crisis we are in is also, you know, going extreme. So I think social entrepreneurship is where you use entrepreneurship principles and practice to establish a business whose primary goal is to address the social and environmental challenges.
Thank you for, you know, describing that in such simple words, but at the same time, you know, you encapsulated all the essential points. Eddie, can you share some examples of social enterprises that you admire, or perhaps the enterprises that you support?
Yeah, thank you. I have quite a number of social enterprises because personally, I am very passionate about social entrepreneurship.
Right.
Over the years, I've found myself whenever I'm trying to innovate something, I find myself inclined to solving a problem over social good. So I define myself also as a social entrepreneur. But when we talk about some examples, I'd like to share about Skia. Skia is a local restaurant, one of my favorite places to eat. And it's in Jinja, which is the second city after the capital of Uganda, Kampala. And they have an interesting model. They are running just like any other restaurant, but what is special is that they are employing people with disability, particularly hearing disability, people who are deaf. And they are creating employment opportunities for these people who are not readily accepted in other businesses. So they are solving a social problem of lack of employment, but also reducing and dealing with the stigma because of disability. And you will find that these young people who are working at this restaurant, they've been empowered to survive in life, and they're delivering very well in terms of hospitality, in terms of quality of service. So I find that innovation, social innovation of Skia restaurant to be very outstanding. And then the other is Chimuli Collection. Chimuli Collection is in another small town after the capital. I got to meet the founder last October. And this is a young lady who grew up with the grandmother, and the grandmother had a disability. But she could use her hands, and then she had a sewing machine, and she could sit on a sewing machine and make some clothes. And so this young lady got that art to tailor something. And when she grew up, she started a venture called Timuli Collection. And she gives the opportunity for people with disability to collect polystyrene from the community, and then they upcycle, not just recycling it, but they add value to it. They upcycle it. They make bags out of sugar, polystyrene, out of cement bags, and they export them, and some is sold locally. And it creates employment for these people in the community. So I find that model also very interesting. And maybe lastly is Stina, which is a very good model. Stina is Social Innovation Academy. And it's in Uganda. Now it has been replicated in different countries, in Congo and different countries around the world. But it started in Uganda. And Stina gives an opportunity for young people who have ideas, but they didn't go to university, who come into this space, and they generate ideas, social entrepreneurship and business ideas within this space, and they are able to go back in their community and implement them. So it's like a training, practical training and mentorship space, but they have also been able to create other ventures around it through offering a museum. They've created a museum, they've created a hall for hire and different things which generate money, and at the end of the day, this money is going into training and giving opportunity for young social entrepreneurs to be mentored, to be trained, to go back and get impact. And currently, I think in Uganda, they have produced the highest number of social entrepreneurs. And these are people like me coming from the slum and didn't have so many opportunities, but went into this space, and then they were challenged to create solutions. So yeah, those are some of the examples that I look at and I am very inspired.
Amazing. And I think you've shared some really good examples, especially the last one, you know, the concept that is started in Uganda and now is being exported to other countries. I think we need that more and more.
Yeah.
It would be wonderful to see that come around in most spaces, not only in Africa, but also in other parts of the world. Which actually brings me to my next question, you know, Eddie. Let's say there's a budding social entrepreneur and they want to articulate their business idea. Is there a proven method or a good way for them to actually do that? How do they explain the value proposition to someone who may want to work with them or invest in their business?
Yeah, thank you, Amit. I think that is one of the core skills any budding entrepreneur should prioritize. Because as an entrepreneur, you are the one who sells your business. You are the one who sells your idea. So you will have to be intentional in developing your own pitch or your own way to speak about your idea in a very precise and concise way. And maybe just some simple ideas on how I think somebody can make a great impact through, you know, communicating their idea very precisely. The first is using stories. Stories could be about what you have studied, what you have seen about your idea. And these stories bring a lot of connection to the idea. It could be case studies. It could be testimonials. It could be people that are going through that situation that you are trying to address. So storytelling is very powerful for any social entrepreneur to bring or drive the message home and to create that human connection. And then secondly is to be clear, to be precise and clear, using simple language to describe what problem are you solving. Is it a problem of climate change? Is it, for example, Timuli Collection, the social entrepreneurship venture that I was sharing about, they are addressing a problem of waste. There is a lot of who are waste disposal in the community, and their idea is simple. Get people who have disability, they don't have employment, create employment for them, collect this waste and add value, upcycle this waste and sell it. So it's a very clear, they're addressing a problem of waste while providing employment opportunity to people with disability, and there is a market. So it's very clear. So one of the things to pay attention to is to have a well-defined problem, a well-defined solution that you clearly articulate, and then using stories to create that connection to your idea. I think that makes it very clear to articulate your idea as a social entrepreneur.
That's really nice. I think you've given students a very good framework to actually present their thoughts and ideas. So to summarize, be really clear about the problem you're trying to solve, have a well-defined solution in place, and to definitely use storytelling to get that point across. I think all the points that you made here, Eddie, they're absolutely right and bang on. You know, Eddie, I was looking at your LinkedIn profile and I also saw that, you know, you have a lovely foundation in place in the form of the Ripples of Hope Foundation. So tell us a little bit more about the work you've been doing with the Ripples of Hope Foundation and the schools that you've started.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm involved with Ripples of Hope. I started that venture in 2016 because it's very close to my heart. I struggled going through school, and the biggest challenge was because of financial constraints. And so as I was in Burundi, I'd gone to do training for nonviolence in Burundi, and I was in my quiet time, and I got this idea to address the problem for children who are like me struggling to go to school. Because a study by the government of Uganda showed that we have about 60% of the children who do not have access to go to pre-primary school. So they just go to primary school because most of the government schools do not have pre-primary section. The pre-primary section is mainly run by private schools, which charge a lot of money. So most of the people, most of the children don't have access to that. And then in that study, also 20% of the children don't go to primary school, and mainly because of financial constraints, but also accessibility in terms of location. They have to move long distances. So I developed that foundation, Ripples of Hope Initiative, which establishes community schools, community-driven schools. We have three types of schools in Uganda. We have public schools where they pay a little, but it's mainly funded by government. And we have private schools where they pay, which are profit-oriented. And so many people in underserved communities cannot afford this. So what we do at Ripples of Hope is to partner with communities and establish community-driven schools, which establish a farm where they can get food and also run the school. They pay an affordable cost to be able to run the community school and give access to as many as possible. So currently we have over 400 children in the two schools. The 300 are within one school and the other 100 are within the first school we started. Yeah, so that is what we are doing at Ripples of Hope Initiative. Also, because I believe in education as, you know, the real empowerment. When you empower somebody through education, you are investing in them to be able to take charge of their life and be able to, you know, move their way forward, not just through handouts and anything else. You are investing them with skills and knowledge to take charge. Yeah, so that's what we are doing under Ripples of Hope.
It's amazing, you know, just hearing you speak and, you know, talking about this initiative that you started. Hats off, Eddie. I mean, it's really good work that you've been doing in Uganda. And I'm sure the work that you're doing will continue to have a positive impact. It's the formative years of your school, primary, pre-primary. It's so important to have a good nurturing environment. And if you're able to do that well at an affordable cost and make that available to communities that would otherwise miss this opportunity, I think it's really a wonderful initiative. I'm sure it's something, this is, as you said, it's close to your heart. So when you flow from your heart, I think the world supports you. You know, you get support to move things forward. I've seen that happen with so many different entrepreneurs.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So Eddie, as an entrepreneur, let's say you start off with your business idea, you get things off the ground, and then you come across, you come to a point where you really need maybe external help or external support in the form of funding. You may want to collaborate with someone in the industry. You may want to get people to invest in your venture. The key point here is that how do you evaluate the social impact of the work you do?
Yes, thank you, Amit. I think evaluation of social impact is very important because that is what explains what you are doing and whether you're moving from point A to point B, moving from where you are to where you want to go. And that gives the confidence for any partnership. I'll speak more specifically to non-violence project, the work we've been doing in Uganda for more than a decade. We had to develop an evaluation policy in all what we do. And what we decided to do is to have evaluation at each of the levels. Before we go into a partnership with a school or a community, we make an assessment. What is the situation like? What is the level of violence? What is the level of knowledge? So we make a sort of a baseline survey, and we analyze the situation before any intervention is done. And in the course of the activities that we are running or in the course of these interventions, we have qualitative, which is focusing on the quality in terms of the stories, the impact on the individuals, what they have learned, how they have applied it, how has the school been transformed by using the program. So the specific impact in terms of quality of the program. So that is key. We get those interviews, we do site visits to capture that qualitative, data. And then there is quantitative, which is looking into the aspect of numbers. How many people have been helped? How many people have been reached? How many people have been educated? That is also on the other side. So, and then the final, end line to assess after the project has been implemented. So what we use is the baseline and then the ongoing and the mid and then the end to evaluate our programs. Yeah.
That's sounds very simple and straightforward, also very logical. And I like the fact that, you know, you're doing a baseline evaluation. So, you know, after a period of time has passed, you can actually do another evaluation to see where you have reached. And then also define an end goal in mind. So those are really some very good pointers. And there was another good point that you made about having a good blend of qualitative and quantitative measures. So I think that is also something which is really important, because somewhere you have that left brain, right brain mix, you know. So someone who is very numbers oriented will maybe work towards more towards the quantitative measures rather. And someone who's more right brain will actually obviously want to hear some of the qualitative impact that, you know, the social work that you're doing, the projects that you're doing have actually had. So that's really good. Yeah. Thanks for answering that, Eddie.
And maybe just one example of the qualitative. We are currently assessing the impact of our Entrepreneurship for Peace. And we have a graduation in April for a class of women that we've been skilling. Young women who dropped out of school, and some ended up as teen mothers and others into early marriage and all that. So we've been training them on tailoring and fashion design. So they now are able to make clothes and different things and be able to earn a decent living and an income. And out of the quantitative is looking at the numbers, but the qualitative is a particular story of this lady, of this young lady, Namuwaya, who dropped out of school. She was born in this very big polygamous family, and her future was like done. She had lost hope. She was home, depressed. And then she hears about the program in the community that we are running at our partner Community Skills Center. And now she's beaming with hope. She's graduating in April. She's already earning money through her skill. Vibari is running to her She now has her own machine. And that particular is just one story to explain the impact, just to one person, the specific impact of the action of the project to one person. Yeah.
It's amazing, you know, that to see how the human spirit, it just triumphs, you know, given the right environment, given the right set of tools and mentorship. I think everyone is capable of getting up, rising up, and doing their best, you know. And
sure.
Example that you gave of Namoya, I mean, that's was so nice to hear that. So thanks for sharing that, Eddie.
Thank you.
I have one more question for you, Eddie, which is in terms of how do you attract employees to work in social enterprises? You know, social enterprises are perhaps not as good paymasters as, say, some of the private jobs. So yeah. How do you attract the right kind of employees to work with you? Because when you're doing any work, when you're trying to execute something, no matter what you do, you can't do it alone. You do need a team, and having the right set of employees is so important. So how do you do that?
As you said, I completely agree that it's not as competitive to attract employees to work in the social entrepreneurship sector as the business, the mainstream business sector. But what we do in our context is, as we work, most of the people that we are working with are young people who have been part of our programs in schools. Because in the last 13 years, we've mentored and trained several young people, and they are passionate about this. So it is the passion most of the times that has driven the people who come to join our team. Because working in the social entrepreneurship, it takes resilience, it takes passion, it takes commitment. There has to be a connection to what you are doing that drives you. So most of the times we found that the people that come to work with us are driven by the passion as number one. And then two, like any other place they work. And we try to make the working environment attractive and better, and connecting it to the social impact, because it also gives a level of fulfillment that, well, this is, I'm adding value. I am solving a problem. I'm creating opportunities for teenage mothers. I'm creating awareness via the media. So most of our workers are driven by passion and that connection to humanity.
That's a good point you made there, Eddie. And, you know, showing every employee the bigger picture, I think, is so important, because when any project is delivered or executed, you have different people playing smaller roles. And when you're playing that small role, sometimes you don't see the final impact of the specific work that you're doing. But as a leader, it's so important to tell that person that, listen, you played this role and that person played this role, and collectively, this is what we managed to do. And this was the social impact of our work. And then someone feels like, oh, wow, I played a role in that. And they feel that sense of pride and joy. And I think it's so important to communicate that.
Yes, that's very powerful. Yeah, very powerful.
All right. This has been an amazing session, Eddie. I would like to thank you once again for making time and joining us on the podcast. I've really enjoyed talking to you, learning a little bit about what you've been doing in Uganda. And I'm sure the words of wisdom that you have given students will really help them to really articulate the social enterprises that they may be thinking about, but also encourage them to walk down this line. So thank you for that, Eddie.
Thank you. It's a great privilege. Thank you for hosting me. And I would like to challenge as well as encourage the students to move forward. Social entrepreneurship is the way to go. You know, looking beyond the profits and adding meaning to our business.
Thank you, Eddie.
Thank you.
In today's session, we covered a lot of important points. What exactly is social entrepreneurship? How do you articulate your business idea? How do you attract employees? And more importantly, why it's so important to measure the social impact that you are creating. I hope you'll enjoy today's episode. Follow us on YouTube. You're going to get notifications as and when new content goes live. Our handle is the Zista Podcast. We're also available on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, and Spotify. This is your host, Amit Ahuja, signing out. Till we meet again, stay curious.